All right. Be going with me to Psalms 139, if you will. We started last week on a three-part series on what happens to babies who die. And last week we looked at Matthew 19, 13 through 15, Jesus loves the little children. And today we want to look at part two, what happens to babies who die. And we're going to look at selected texts. And next week we'll finish it, okay? Today I'm going to do something I don't normally do. It's topical. We'll be going from passage to passage. But today we're going to be looking at some implicit scriptures that deal with what happens to babies when they die. And we're going to be looking at four theological questions. Now next week we're going to look at some explicit passages that are more clear about what they're talking about. But what happens to babies who die? Somebody was to ask me that, I would say instant heaven. Instant heaven. And we all believe that. I don't think there's a person here as a Christian who doesn't believe that babies, they die before they reach the age or the condition of accountability, go to hell. I think we all believe in heaven. But why? How would you defend that to somebody? You see, it's not enough to say, well, I believe that, but why do you believe that? And so that's the purpose of these series that we're talking about here. Whether they're believers' children or unbelievers' children. I even heard somebody tell me one time, well, unbelievers' children, if they die, they go to hell. You know, that's not true. Whether we're in America or Iraq, instant heaven. Now, last week we looked at Jesus loves the little children. We saw three things. We should bring our children to Jesus. We should not hinder our children from coming to Jesus. And God has a special provision for children. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I shared with you last week two quotes, one from John MacArthur. Heaven is populated by two kinds of people, those who die as children and those who trust as little children. And John Calvin says the passage broadens to give children or give the kingdom citizenship to both children and those who come as children. So Jesus, not only in the Gospels, taught how we to come to him like a little child, but in the passage we looked at like last week, he had set up a category. Such is the kingdom of heaven. Well, today I want to share with you some implicit references, and we're going to go more in detail in them next week, and we're going to look at four theological questions about babies going to heaven when they die. Three implicit scriptures. First of all, last week we looked at 2 Samuel chapter 12 with David and his son. He says, he can't come where I'm at, but I can go where he's at. And we'll talk more about that next week. But today I want you to look at Psalms 139 verse 17 and get this feel for God's heart for children. Look in verse 17. Let's stand in honor of God's word, if you will. Psalms 139 verse 17. David says, how precious also are thy thoughts upon me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Father, I pray today as if we go from scripture to scripture and prove from the scriptures that babies go to heaven when they die. Father, I pray to you enlighten our minds and give us understanding. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. The psalmist David here gives precious thoughts and truths about God toward children. Verse 17. So we're going to start at verse 17 and go backwards, and we're going to do it quickly. So you stay with me, okay? First of all, in verses 1 through 4, the psalmist says that God knew everything about him before he could even talk. Now, if you're here today and you believe in abortion, I'm telling you, you're in the wrong church. We believe that life becomes a life at the moment of conception, right? And we believe any taking of life is murder, right? Look in verses 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. In other words, the psalmist says here, God knows all about me before I could even talk. And then in verses 5 and 6, God is in control of his life. David knew that. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, and thou hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. In other words, the psalmist knew that God was in control of his life. And then in verses 7 through 10, the psalmist tells us that God can never lose sight or knowledge of him no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances came in his life. Verse 7, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven and thou art there, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Of course, hell there being Hades. David knew that no matter what comes in his life, God will never lose sight. You could be in the emergency room. You could be in the doctor's office. You could be in church here with the church. I'm telling you, God never takes his eye off you. He never loses sight of who you are and what's going on in your life. And then number four, the psalmist came to understand that God will never be limited in that knowledge. Verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness as the light are both alike to thee. God will never be limited in his knowledge. Verse 13 and 14. God was his personal creator. Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The psalmist David knew when he was in his mother's womb that God was his creator. Amen. And then also in verses 15 and 16, lastly here, God has determined his destiny. Now, we don't like that, do we? But God has determined his destiny. Look in verse 15, if you will. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, talking about his conception, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. That's the mother's womb. He says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. You see, the fetus in a baby is not really a fetus. It's not a blob. It's a person. At the moment of conception, you have life. You have a person. A baby is a person. If you don't get anything else from Psalms 1 and 39, you need to get that from this text. The baby is a person. Thine eyes see my substance, yet being imperfect. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. David understood that God has determined. He knew everything about David before David was ever conceived. Boy, that'd blow your mind, won't it? So when you read Psalms 139, you can't walk away with any other feeling other than the fact that conception begins at life, and life mattered to David, matters to God, and it mattered to David. A caring God who knows all would do right. Would you agree with that, right? He would do right. Now, I want you to go with me to Job. Job chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And we're talking about what happens to babies who die. Job, that's always a hard book to find, but we're looking. You hang in there. If you get there before I do, just hang on. I taught Leviticus to the young adult class this morning. Amen. And that's not one of my favorite books, but we were in Leviticus. Look in Job chapter 3, if you will. Look what Job said. Job chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Now, we're going to look at these a little closer next week. These are proof texts for what happens to babies who die. Look in verse 16. Well, look first of all in verses 1 through 3. You know the story of Job. And this opened Job his mouth and cursed this day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said there was a man child conceived. David regretted he had even been born. I mean, not David, but Job. Now, why did he not? What's he saying here? All this is coming on upon me. It would have been better if I died in my mother's womb. It would have been better if I had never been conceived. It would have been better if I had been a miscarriage. Let's go a little further. Go to verse 16. As an hidden untimely birth I have not been. As infants which never saw light. In other words, it would have been better if I had been a miscarriage in my mother's womb. Now notice verse 17. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Be at rest. Now what is he talking about? He's wishing I had never been born. He's wishing I had a miscarriage. And he said, I wish I had died when I was an infant. Why? I would be at rest. Be at rest is a term not for hell, right? Be at rest. Where at rest? In heaven. It had been better if he had been stillborn or miscarried and be at rest. Do you see that? Enter into the rest. The dying of an infant brings one to rest, not hell. He is not saying all go to rest. Because unbelievers, what? They don't have no rest, right? They go to an eternal hell. But here he says, if I had died when I was stillborn, or if I died in my mother's womb, I would have been at rest. Okay? Go to Ecclesiastes with me, if you will, chapter 6. Now, that's another one. Boy, howdy. You mean that's in the Bible? Yeah, it's in there somewhere. We'll find it in a minute. Y'all hang. I should have marked these so I could look like I was smarter than y'all were. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Look in verse 3. Look what Solomon said. Solomon does the same thing. He laments. And better, it would have been better to be stillborn, better to have a miscarriage, and I would have entered into rest. Look in chapter 6, verse 3. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of the years be many, and his soul be filled with good, and also that he had no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Verse 5, moreover, he hath seen the sun. He had not seen the sun, nor known anything. He hath more rest than the other. For though he live 1,000 years twice old, live 2,000 years, yet have he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. Look in verse 7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. In other words, what is Solomon doing here? He's lamenting. He said it would have been better if I had been stillborn. It better if I had had a miscarriage here than live 2,000 years. I would go into rest. And again, if we're teaching that babies go to hell before the condition of understanding or the condition of accountability, then they do not enter rest. But Solomon and David both tell us that they enter rest, right? It's equated with heaven. Now, we're going to look at these a little closer next week and some more passages, okay? More explicit passages. But today I want to share with you four theological questions. Number one, if we're teaching that babies go to heaven when they die, then we got to qualify who we're talking about. Who are infants? Who are children? You remember the word last week for little children or little ones was talking about toddlers or infants? If we say that babies go to heaven, we must define who we're talking about. Okay? We often say the age of accountability, right? And I've used it, but the age of accountability is not in Scripture. It's more of a condition rather than an age. And it could be at different ages for different people. But we'll call it the understanding or the condition of accountability. We defined a baby or a toddler as those who have not reached a mature understanding of law and grace. They have not reached a mature understanding of sin and salvation. Whether it could be an infant, a toddler, or someone who is mentally impaired. Okay? You see, if my children had died before they had become aware of good and evil, before they had become aware to reject evil and choose good, before they could understand sin and repentance in Christ, the Bible teaches that they would have went to heaven, right, before that. So that brings us to the second question. Are all children conceived as sinners? Are all children conceived as sinners? Every person born in sin is born in sin after the first Adam. We're not saying babies don't have a sin nature. They just haven't been guilty of the sin of unbelief and those deeds and sins that accumulate for the great white throne judgment. We were morally corrupt. All of us before Christ were morally corrupt. Every one of us was born with a sin nature. Now, some believe that, this was popular before the 1600s. Some believe that man is born clean and later is corrupted by things that come in their life. So then they say, well, babies who die go to heaven because they're sinless. You know, they haven't had yet time to commit deeds, and so they're sinless, so they go. But no, they have a corrupt nature, just like you and I have. So this is not the reason that they go to heaven. all children are sinners at birth. If not, they would not have died. Because with sin comes death, right? That's why we die, because of sin, because of Adam's sin, right? That's been inherited us, imputed to us. So if we say, well, babies don't have a sin nature, then why do they die? They die because sin is in the world, right? And they die because they're after the first Adam. All children are sinners at birth, right? In Adam, all die. They die before they can make a responsible choice of sin, yet they have a sin nature that has not been manifested yet. Are you with me? Hang with me now, because we're getting to a point here. They have the principle of sin. They have the guilt of sin, and they have the consequences of sin, which is death. But they haven't grown to that point of understanding to choose right and wrong, good and evil, and to make a rejection of Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. God has a special plan for them. Now, in case you're here and you don't believe that babies have a sin nature, well, just take them home from the hospital. Amen? Right? How many of you found out when you got home, my baby, there's something wrong with my baby. Right? Huh? Right? Right? You ain't got to teach him, right? We were talking about this over at Amy's house the other night. If you think your little boy is okay, take him home and take his diaper off and stand in front of him. Amen? Huh? Psalms 51:5, David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me." Not out of wedlock, but in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalms 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Right? Little Johnny, did you stick your finger in the light socket? No, I didn't. But little Johnny did. That's why his hair is frizzled. Right? Jeremiah 17:9. "The heart is deceitfully deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it?" This is why, church, I've told you over and over, and me, I don't follow my heart because my heart is wicked. Right? Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sinned into all in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Right? Ephesians 2:3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Now, this is what you were when you were born, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before you came to Christ, God's condemnation was upon you. Right? But through Christ, we could stand a sinful man before a holy God. So all babies have a deadly virus. It's called the SIN virus, right? And we all have that. That brings us to the third question. If children are conceived as sinners, then what are the consequences of this? That's the third question. All mankind, I want to be biblical today. I don't want to be depressing to you, but all mankind are depraved sinners born to depraved parents, right? Who are condemned to hell unless they are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Okay. Some say that babies can't repent and believe, so they go to hell. Now, we're not saying babies don't have a sin nature, but some people say, well, they can't repent and believe, so they go to hell. The response is no, of course. They go by the same way you go to heaven, by grace, right? How are you going to heaven? By grace, right? Not by the law, but by grace. The special grace that God has provided through the atonement of Christ for these little ones. Now, often we say, well, I'm going by grace, but if you die when you're a baby, you're going to hell. And it's inquisitive to me and puzzling to me why we want grace for us and we want law for the baby. Are you with me? They go by grace. You were condemned to hell, and God showed you grace. You didn't do anything to earn your salvation. Are you with me? Right? So why are we so quick to give babies, exclude this grace from babies who have not reached the condition of understanding? Well, some say God is only gracious to baptized believers. Baptized babies. And they got a whole movement, the Lutherans and the Reformers. We go to infant baptism. Trouble with that is, number one, baptism doesn't save you. right? You can baptize all the babies you want to, you know. They can grow up and reach the condition of accountability, reject Christ, and go to hell, right? Are y'all with me? Trouble is, it's not taught in Scripture. The baptism of infants is not taught anywhere in Scripture. It would be salvation by works, not by grace. We're baptized because we're saved, not to get saved. And that brings us to the question, number four. Well, if babies can't repent and believe, and they're born with a sin nature, how are babies saved if they can't repent and believe? How are babies saved? Now, we're going to go deeper. If you're not with me in this two-part study, you need to come next week because I'll show you some more verses, okay? How are babies saved if they can't repent and believe? Well, they're saved by the atoning work of Christ that has been given to their account and been applied to them by grace. God has a special provision for children. Now, if you grow up to be eight and you become aware of sin, you choose evil and you reject good and you become aware of who Jesus is and all this, this doesn't apply to you. You go to hell if you die without Christ. They are sinners, but not guilty of sin of unbelief. What sends people to hell? The sin of unbelief, right? You say, well, what about the heathen in Romans chapter 1? Well, let me tell you about the heathen in Romans chapter 1. They're without excuse. They have creation light. They have conscious light. They have Christ light. And the Bible says no man is without excuse. Y'all hang there with me. I'm almost through, okay? Y'all agree with that? The Bible says that. The heathen in the darkest part of the Congo dies without Christ, he's going to hell. Are you with me? But not their babies. Romans chapter 1 talks about the heathen being without excuse. But the baby is with excuse because they haven't reached the condition of understanding. And there's a difference. Are you with me? Nowhere in Scripture do we see, now listen to this, nowhere in Scripture do we see the damnation of infants. You're not going to find it anywhere. You're not going to find it anywhere. Eternal salvation is always linked. Eternal damnation is always linked to unbelief in the deeds and the sins that come out of that. Okay? Go with me to Revelation chapter 20, if you will. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12. Great white throne judgment. Only the unbelievers are at this judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. See, but their names are not in the Lamb's book of life. But the other books were opened because of their deeds to determine the degree of eternal punishment. And he says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Do you see that? There's a tie here between not only the sin of unbelief, but also their deeds and their sins. You see, and a baby is an innocent. We'll talk about that next week. They're in an innocent stage. Their deeds and sins don't send them to hell. I believe their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world because God knew they were going to die when they were infants. Are you with me? Isaiah 7:16. Just let me read these for a second time. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. That's a good definition of the condition of accountability. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39. Now, we're talking about who's going to enter into the promised land. Moreover, your little ones, which you say shall be a prey, and your children. In other words, they said, we can't go in because they're going to kill our children. Which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. That's a good definition of the condition of accountability. They shall go in thither, and to them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Only two groups of people went into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, and the ones that haven't reached are still in the condition of accountability. Are you with me? That's why the children survived, folks. Because they had the special grace in their life. And then Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. You know the story of Jonah. It says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand? Now, who is this 120,000 people he's talking about? They're the children that cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, and much cattle. Bible scholars estimate there was like 600,000 people in Nineveh, but 120,000 of them was these little ones, was these ones that could not discern between good and evil. Are you with me? Those are some verses, okay, that we can use not only to give ourselves comfort, but other people comfort, that if a baby dies in the condition of accountability, before the condition of accountability, you can rest assured, mother, father, that your child is in the presence of Jesus. Amen. Now, next week, we'll look at more explicit verses and really get show you some things from the New Testament as well about why babies go to heaven when they die. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. We have an invitation, Brother Marcus. Come on. Y'all come on. Miss Wanda, you stay in California. Y'all come on. Okay. Father, we thank you from your word. Lord, help us to be people that say, you know, I've been taught that, and I think that, but we got to be able to back it up with Scripture. And so from last week, today, and next week, we will be better informed about these matters. And I pray you give assurance where it needs to go and comfort where it needs to go. But at the same time, we cannot take that risk. We need to bring our children to church. We need to lead them to Christ, because we don't know if they're going to die while they're in this condition of unaccountability. So, Father, help us to be the people that we need to be, the parents we need to be, to set the example before our family where we need to be on the Lord's Day and what's important to us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.